You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Today on Palestine Remembered, we bring you an interview by Robert Martin with Bassem Tamimi from Nabi Saleh Village in the West Bank from 2018.
So I'm just here with Bassem Tamimi in Nabi Saleh, a village that has been under exposure for a while now. Can you just tell me a little bit about the history and the issues that you have with the Israelis?
The issue is the occupation and the history. We are here. I told you a story about when we are here.
We should say this again. So the story is, how long have you been here?
I always, when somebody asks me this, I always said that that my uncle was sitting under a mulberry tree in 1976. They succeed to stop the settler to take the land. And because of that, a journalist asked him, he was old man, and he asked him, since when you own this land? He looked at him and said, I was sitting under this mulberry tree when Adam passed from here and asked me if I see Eve passing or not. For that, as a Palestinian, we don't know when and since when and why we must prove that we are here since long time. We are here. Why? And also, a lot of people in all over the world, they want to the Palestinian to prove their right. Why? I don't know.
I agree. What happened in 1976? Will you stop them taking more land?
Yeah, they stopped them. They came, a group from Goshimunin, terrorist group, settler, to take a land from Nabi Saleh to make a settlement. In that year, they could stop them to do that. For that, the journalists start coming and asking what's happening. And for that, why? Why nobody don't ask the Israeli to approve? They ask, when they took the land, they ask us if we have a permit or a license for our land. But nobody ask you in USA if you have a permit or not, because they want to legitimize their occupation for our land. And see, they use the Turkish law, the Jordanian law, the Israeli law, and which law they can found any way to take the Palestinian land.
And can you tell me about the march that you have every Friday and sort of when it began and how it began? Because I also understand it stopped for the last few weeks for reasons you can tell me.
Because of the occupation, and we want to raise our hands and call our voice for everyone of the world, in the world, that we can't keep silent under occupation. And after the settlers start extending their fence, taking their land, attacking the people, we decide in December 9, 2009, to start a model of nonviolent resistance, to create a third Palestinian alternative, because negotiation and armed resistance, we want to put for the Palestinian another option to be chosen and you follow, because we feel that the negotiation will not need for anything. For that, we don't want to give the Israeli a reason to all the time show the Palestinian as a terrorist after they make a link. We have the right to resist in any mean, but the mean is to serve the goal. For that, we want to create this model to convince our society by this way of resistance. We start December 9, 2009, to make a link with the first Intifada date. Since that date, we have a weekly demonstration, daily clashes with the army. We have two gates on the entrance of the village, which is one of it closed since 2001. And the other one closed and open for a lot of short period, long period, mid-term.
This is obviously the Israelis that close it. You have no choice. You don't get a choice.
We haven't a choice. You see, the first home of the village, it's around 100 meters from a gate. But when they close it, the owner of this house, he must go back and around the village from Mother Road to go back to his home.
To get back in his own house.
And he can't walk because they don't allow him to walk. And they must go around other village to come to his home. And it took him 20 kilometers, just 100 meters to 20 kilometers.
It goes from one... That's it. That's inside. That's crazy.
This is... And we start, as I told you, since that date, we face a lot of suffering because of the attacking of the settler, the army, all of that. We lost three people who killed by the Israeli army.
So murdered, basically.
Murdered by the Israeli army. Mustafa Tamimi, December 10, 2011. Rushdie, my brother-in-law, and Nariman, my wife, was filming, and they killed him in front of her. And she told him, I am with Beit Salim, I am journalist, and she is filming. And they shoot a lot of live ammunition against her, and she continue running until she arrived him. He killed... 22 of November 2012, and the third one is Saba Obeid. He's from Salfit, other village. He killed during the hunger strike demonstration, supporting for the hunger, the prisoner hunger strike, and they shot him by a sniper in the stomach, and it's come in his heart, and he died immediately. We have more than 350 injured person, not all from Nabi Saleh, but most of them from Nabi Saleh, who had been injured and shot. Part of them has disability in part of their body. The worst one is Zihab Barghouti. He's full paralyzed by a rubber bullet in his head. And there is a lot of people who had can't walk because... The sniper, they start using a sniper with 22 millimeters bullets, .22, which is, we named it Tutu, because it's 22. They shoot the people, they start using this strategy. They shoot the people in their left leg, in this part, and mostly of them, 70%, it charm the nerve of the foot.
It's the sciatic nerve.
Make the paralyzed the foot. For that, it's make a continuous problem for them.
And this is intentional as well.
They use it. It's a strategy. They target them in this part. Somebody, and most of them, it charm the nerve because they know, you know. And somebody it's broke the leg or it comes on the the knee, and it's...
Because they're snipers too, they know what they're doing.
About snipers.
Can you tell me quickly about the, I think it was 40% or 60% of the houses have demolition orders? Well, 80%, is 80% of the village.
We have 13 demolition order for houses which located in Area C. One of it is my home. It's this part is the old part. It's built 1964, and before 1967 occupation. I have a license from the Jordanian government. I have 200 square meter. They give me demolition order for 300 square meter.
Because your house is in Area B and C.
My home in Area C. My nephew home, which my neighbor, there is the line on the map comes on his roof, and two rooms Area B, two rooms Area C. But they give him demolition order for all the house. This means 80% of the village is under demolition order. They demolished one of these houses before last summer. And this means to keep us under stress and not...
Of course, so every night you have to worry, every day you have to worry.
And we don't know when and how they will come and demolish the houses. You know, it's a policy. It's a silent ethnic cleansing policy. Because
it's not that silent, because you know about it too. I mean, the world should.
Because they don't force the people to leave directly. By this demolition order, I can't build another floor for my home, on my home to my son. My four son will be directly replaced to Area B or Area A or outside. And this means they don't push them out. They just give a demolition order. It's indirect in a replacement for the Palestinian. It's the main strategy for that. They want to...
So they want the land without the people?
Yeah, they want to push the people outside the land. Area C now is 62% of the West Bank, and which is West Bank, it's mean the promise state for the war talking about the two-state solution. And it's under full control of the Israeli. We have just less than 250,000 Palestinian and more than 600,000 settler. It means it is empty, and they bring the settler and they push the Palestinian out. They push the Palestinian out by a lot of policy, water control. I don't allow them to build in houses or live there. They push them by force. They demolition order. They destroy the agriculture. They control the spring, the weather, everything. For that, they can't let the shepherd to go with their sheep in any place.
This is the spring you used to use, and I think part of your march on a Friday had to do with trying to get to the spring too, didn't it? Because you don't have access at all.
It's small spring. It's used by the farmer and the owner for the land to irrigate some vegetables, to for their sheep, for their they took water for a drink, to make tea, and when they are working there, but they don't allow anybody to get water.
The Israelis can use it.
Yeah, they make a pool there, and they come.
So they make a pool out of it, and you can't go and utilize it for your animals, for anything.
They make a pool, and they declare it's a holy water, and every woman who burn her child must come and wash herself from this water to bring the people. They use the.
So they're using it to wash and to cleanse, but you can't use it for life.
And they you know the mythology, they use it to bring the people to this and make it a religious issue.
So they became
naked around the bowl, and they know our culture. You can't get your daughter or your wife to work in the place there is a naked people here. It's indirect also pushing the Palestinian out of their land.
Hi, this is Rafif Ziada, and you're listening to 3CR, Pro-Palestinian, Happily Proud Radio.
What can international people like me do to help?
It's a hard question.
I mean, as a Palestinian, it must be horribly frustrating that the world allows Israel to do what it wants, and yet you're demonized as people that are terrorists. How does that make you feel as a human being, as a father?
You know, they all the time they want the victim to improve or to blame himself, or they want to show to stay. They part of the problem that we are became the victim of the victim after the international community solved the result of the Holocaust on our land and from our account.
So you're paying for the Holocaust. You had nothing to do with.
We were not the criminal who do that, but we paid the price for Europe. Europe and the European people who don't like the Jewish.
They didn't want them, so they said, come to Palestine.
For that, they pushed them out. And now, they don't want to feel sorry. For that, they need what the Israeli doing for the Palestinian, not to feel sorry and pity for what they are doing in the Holocaust. It's part of stopping their conscience to blame themselves. For that, they need to see the victim as a criminal. For that, they need the Israeli to be a criminal against the Palestinian for something in their mind.
For their conscience.
For their conscience, yeah. And it's a part of the problem. And also, you know, the Israeli part of the problem that they make a link between the terrorist and the Palestinian. They control the media all over the world, CNN, Fox News, all of that.
And people like me all over the world believe it.
They They saw a Palestinian as a terrorist, but now by social media we broke this monopoly of media.
So social media is helping?
Yes, it's helping. It's helping. It's a lot of helping. You know, it's bring the reality on the ground, on the table, in every home.
It's uncensored, isn't it? They can't be censored in the world.
Easy to come and best to the any information you want if you search for the reality.
So people should search for Tamimi House, the Tamimi family in Nabi Saleh, the village, and help.
They can say a lot. Yeah. But what they can do, we in Arabic we have a say. It said the Ahlu Makkah Adra bi Sha'abha, that the resident of Mecca know its way well. And you are as international, you can create your rule and your responsibility and your duty. It's not a gift from you to be with the Palestinians. It's your duty and your responsibility.
I think people need to know that too.
Nobody can be free if I lose my freedom. If we are human being and we are really believe in the human rights, you are not. I don't like to name your effort as a solidarity. It's not a solidarity. It's your duty and
the responsibility as a human being.
We are partner in the struggle for our belief, because Israel is not the problem.
It's the world allowing it.
Israel is the guard for the interest of the capitalism, the military industry, the colonization. For that, we suffer the same enemy. You paid from your tax to Israel to be guard for the military industry in your country. Yeah. For that, we have the same. We sit in Palestine, a stone of the head on the snake here, the same stone on the head of the snake there, because it's the same snake. We believe we are partner, and I believe that the third intifada must be international intifada. I believe that if peace comes by Jesus from Palestine, also peace for the world will come back from Palestine. You can start. Israel, the symbol of all extreme terrorists and every bad thing in the world.
Do we need an international intifada?
For that, we need to focus on this problem. They want to push the conflict to show it as a religious conflict.
They often do, yeah.
And for that, they anti-Semitize for the people who just talking about something, about occupation. You can't. About settler, about killing the Palestinian. It's not my responsibility to recognize between Judaism and colonization and Israel and occupation and Zionist and occupation. It's the duty for the Jewish, because as a Palestine is occupied, also the Judaism religion is occupied by these people, by the Zionism, and it's used in a bad way. They must struggle to take back their religion from the hands of these terrorist people to show it's in the level of humanity and the level of peace and justice and the freedom and all of that. For example, when I was a child, My mother told me the Jewish is coming. When she see the army, the Israeli army, she can't recognize between Judaism and because they represent Judaism as occupation for me and for our population. We need everyone in the world to believe that we are not a victim. We don't need your look for us or your to feel pity for our issue. We are a freedom fighter. We are fighting for our rights. If you see the Palestinian as a freedom fighter, you can do and you can create your rule. You can see the BDS is sometimes succeed in doing a pressure on Israel. You can put a pressure in your government, in your election, to see how these people are controlling My visa was revoked because I make.
I was just going to talk to you about that because I'm obviously Australian, and you didn't get to come to Australia because it was revoked.
Also, it's revoked from. I visit USA for 2 times. The third time because we make with an American lawyer a lawsuit against the firm who support the settlement in Palestine, and by the and it's illegal by the American law, and we ask. Because they have tax, they don't pay taxes.
Tax exempt.
For that, we make a lawsuit against the American Treasury because it's illegal by the American not to pay taxes because it's the settlement.
It's illegal,
and it's a war crime as the American law also. For that, when we make this, they revoked my visa. It's the first time that the American embassy sent me a letter, your visa is revoked, because the pressure of the lobby.
Well, I was really disappointed that you couldn't come to Australia as well. And I read the articles, they're saying terrible things.
The Australian also give me the visa, and after the second day, they cancel the visa. I feel that we are more free. If this state can't bring one person and her decision is controlled by these Zionists, it's mean they occupied.
Yeah,
they are occupied, yes.
Yeah.
They must struggle to take their decision from the hands of these people.
Hey, tell me, as a father, do you worry about the kids?
Yeah, I am father.
So I'm a father too. Do you worry about the kids and what they're living in?
This is all the time. This is they want to blame us that we put our children in front of us. But
can I tell you that's a horrible thing. I hate when I see that because I see the love in the parents of the Palestinians. It's offensive, and it makes me really upset because you guys love your kids and they, you know, got beautiful kids. But you must worry.
We worry, but you know in India, because there is a lot of snakes, scorpions, and all of that. They give a small amount of poison for his child to defend his future. I think we need to put our children in the struggle to give them the ability to live under this occupation.
Well, you can't hide them anyway from here. Where are you going to hide them?
Because if we scare them and put them at home, and they will be psychologically patient and sick, and they will be in trauma. They raid my home 200 times in this 6 years.
They've raided this house 200 times in 6 years?
Yeah.
And what time do they come?
After midnight.
So 2-3 in the morning, and they bang on the door?
Yeah. No, they open.
They just open the door?
They broke the doors, yeah. You know, you see how it's broken? And you see, I will show you the other rooms, it's broken. They don't wait until you open the house. And if I scare my children, how they can sleep the second day? Yeah?
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you because I know you can't hide them either.
That's a type of a training for our children to be strong in front of their enemy because their enemy is the occupation and our snake is the occupation, these soldiers. We haven't a safety place.
You don't have a safe place?
No, we haven't a safe place. If we have, where? Maybe the settlement.
So you can hide at the settlement because the settlements are...
if they can rent us a house for our children every week, we can send them...
So when the house is raided, you can leave the kids over there. Oh, wow. You've got to have humour. Well, Seb, thank you for having me. And I know you're about to cook me lunch too, so I'm in a fantastic position here.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
Miko, ta'alu hadru al-video.
Thanks for listening. That was Robert Martin speaking with Bassem Tamimi in 2018 in Nabi Saleh.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.